What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We're Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes. Coming at you
5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news.
Woo!
And today we got a handful of game previews for you.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to kick things off with a preview of the upcoming Warriors versus Clippers matchup at home. Today, if you're listening to this.
Listening, yeah, a PG-less preview. He was ruled out on Thursday night when we're recording this podcast. We're going to get into all that during that preview specifically.
So hopefully that's the extent of it, but still TBD.
I hope.
But still TBD. And then we got a doozy of a matchup against the Nuggets.
Made all the more interesting with tonight's injury news.
Yeah. And then, so every single Friday, we do some sort of Pacific Division power ranking. This is a little bit of a disappointment ranking.
We're let down with the Pac Div as a whole.
It's a little bit different from what I thought it was going to be at the start of the season.
Yeah, for that first week or so.
So we're going to talk about that. And then we got a great Chuck Mockler classic, Love, Marry, Kill for you.
Oh, yeah. This one's a little long-winded, but I think it's a good time.
There's paragraphs, so it's going to be great. Yeah. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So we take on the Warriors at Staples Friday night, downtown LAC night, I believe.
That's right.
First one in a while. If you haven't been to a Clippers game, the DT LAC nights are very fun.
Oh, yeah.
LED wristbands is a good time. The Warriors come in having lost six in a row. However, okay. Their last loss against the Bucks was only 9 points, which is a lot better than we did.
Considerably.
So there's something to say to that. There's an injury update. D'Angelo Russell practiced for the Warriors on Thursday. Draymond Green didn't. They are both questionable. Kevon Looney was also out against the Bucks in their last game.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't. I didn't see an injury news about him. So we can kind of assume that he'll be in there. But, I mean, I assume that both these guys are out. I assume Draymond's out for sure.
What
right? We're recording this Thursday night, so if this comes out Friday morning that they're in, sorry about that.
Oh, you didn't give some odds for the bettors out there?
Draymond being out, I would just take that bet, no problem.
Okay.
And then D'Angelo, he practiced. He didn't play in the Bucks game.
Buy low is what you're saying.
I would say buy low on that, yeah. And then for the Clippers, which was kind of a, I don't want to say bombshell on this Thursday evening, but Paul George is listed as out for the game. The injury was originally hamstring tightness. It has now been classified as a strain, which implies that it's gotten worse. This is a full day they've ruled him out as opposed to the day of for the game on Friday. Does this affect him at all for Saturday? Do you think his availability is in question for Saturday?
Oof.
Tough to think about, but this is so soon to rule a guy out.
Yeah, it's hard to say way or the other. Just looking back at the JaMychal thing, though, he played, obviously, you know, the Paul George situation was different. He played a much more substantial role.
Yeah, he's played a little more minutes.
So I guess I would have more confidence in it, but I might take the over on him
games
not playing.
Missed. Yeah, if the game's missed is 1.5, I'd take the over.
Yeah.
I would say I am in the early stages of a little worried.
It's
for this specific injury. He played on Sunday.
That's what's troubling. I don't necessarily
needed him to, though. So we didn't lose to the Knicks. I don't know. We're gonna probably definitely unpack more of that on Monday after this weekend and everything. But right now, something to monitor.
He's definitely something to keep track of. So with that being said, what do we need to do well in this one?
The Warriors play horrible perimeter defense.
Okay.
It's not a shock for the game that a team that has won less than 10 games plays horrible perimeter defense, I don't think. They're 29th in opponent three-point percentage. They're 25th in three-point attempts given up and 24th in overall opponent field goal percentage. The shots will be there.
Yeah.
Losing Paul George for this game is actually kind of a big deal.
You're not confident Kawhi can
play? I'm absolutely he can, but it's nice to have someone out there who you know can shoot 12 threes and make, you know, 40% of them.
The spacing is
I'm not saying that when Paul George was ruled out, I was like, oh no, we're gonna lose. But we've talked about it. The offense, you know, it's just a little different when Paul George is out there.
That's fair.
I think we're going to be okay, though. I think this is a nice game for Shamit to maybe light it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think some of the people who've been bummed out with JaMychal Green can see maybe last year's JaMychal.
It'd be nice to see Mo have a nice offensive game.
Oh, I'd love to see people honking their horns on Saturday morning or Friday night after the game. What do you think we need to do well?
Well, we can't start this one out playing down. We've got to, and specifically, no. we got to step up defensively. The Warriors, you know, they've been without key members. Even forget the big names, you know, like they've been out of one of
D'Angelo was out for a little bit. Like, yeah.
Yeah. And they've struggled to muster even 100 points in three of their last five games. I'd like to see us really be able to pounce on this and hopefully keep this one under 100. It'd be really nice to not give up 40 in the first to a team in a bit of a rough patch.
Yeah, we're coming off a weekend where we gave up a cool, you know, almost $3 worth of points. it was like 278 or something like that. I could not agree with that more. We also need to watch the fouls.
Yes.
This is kind of an interesting thing. The Warriors are top 10 in free throw attempts in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So giving them free points is something that opponents tend to do and something that the Clippers kind of tend to do with teams that they, on paper, it seems like there's a statistical advantage. So I don't want to send these guys to the line.
Yeah.
And that's also indicative of Zoo's going to have to be someone to watch in this game, especially if Kevon Looney plays.
Mm-hmm.
Because those two match, I think what Doc called a dinosaurs when it was Drummond and Zoo.
Yeah.
Looney and Zoo is also dinosaurs. In a good way. It's just the little things, I feel like, that we need to do well in this game, and that's how we don't lose. If we do the little things well, even if maybe the shooting's not there or something like that, if the hustle is there, that's what guys talked about after practice on, I think it was Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
Lou was talking about that, like, just, we have a target on our backs.
Yeah.
And teams like the Warriors, who literally have nothing to lose, if there's any spark that they could beat us, they play hard already.
Yeah.
What do you think could go wrong in this game?
Just allowing them to come into this one early, like if we're going
the
back
door
and
has
forth,
to be shut as soon as the ball is tipped.
Yeah, I mean if they hang around in this one, it's gonna be a difficult game, and especially with no Paul George to like really seal things away, this could be one that Kawhi ends up playing a lot more minutes. And I guess it's one of those games, and I hate to look past it because that's not fair to do to the Warriors, but like, the implications of having a game like we had this weekend, especially with Paul George being questionable over the next stretch of games, is dire to me.
Well, it sucks because we had such a long break. So yeah. Now that we're back and thinking about, because we're coming from this, just a reminder, this is a fan podcast.
Totally.
We're coming this from the fan outlook of, we haven't seen basketball from the Clippers for 4 days. Last time we saw it, defense looked a little suspect.
You could say.
So I know what you mean. I think I'm more anxious just because I want to see Kawhi take over. I think he can. He absolutely can. He also doesn't have to if everyone else is kind of doing their thing, which would be nice.
I think a Kawhi game will be good for team morale in that he didn't play in the second game of the back-to-back.
Yeah.
So he hasn't shared the floor with Trez since Trez made those comments. And I think that Kawhi is going to be on the same wavelength.
He's going to be juiced up.
I think he's going to look to shut things down early. I think he's going to look to get his teammates going early too.
Love it.
Which is just the key to a victory, like
a comprehensive victory.
Securing an early victory, especially against like a team that's, you know, in a bit of a rough patch.
That we should be able to beat handily. Yeah. I hope people cut off this podcast.
We should be able to beat handily.
I hope people cut this podcast off right before we said that, so they think we're just clowning on Kawhi for some reason. Another thing could go wrong if D'Angelo plays, which I think he might.
It's possible. Historically, he's played very well against the Clippers. He averages 20 points and 8 assists.
He's like one of the ultimate get hot guys. There's a lot of guys I don't want to get hot in the league against us. He's definitely up there on the list.
One of my big knocks on D'Angelo Russell is just that he takes a lot of like inefficient pull-up jumpers in transition, like from three. But he shoots them at like a 50% clip against the Clippers.
And we can't guard those.
So, and we have
apparently.
We have not been guarding those very well. So I think that could be an issue if we see him.
And if he plays, and if he's efficient, he took 25 shots in their last win, which was 11 more than anyone else. He was not efficient. He shot 40% total. But he had 31 points. So if he's efficient and he plays, I don't know. There's just something. This is a classic, like, apparently every game now, we talked about, I think last week I talked about how, like, we never really talked about trap games. Now it feels like every game's a trap game after this weekend. And I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that's
because it makes, I think all the other, I think the players see that and they're like, yeah, we need to do this. What are some key matchups?
Some key matchups in this one.
Oh, sorry. I have one more thing that could go wrong.
What's it?
So say we trade early buckets. Say we have a poor percentage from three and we're trying to get to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors are actually top 10 in free throws allowed for opponents.
Okay.
Which is kind of surprising given their horrible record. So if we have to live at the line, it might be harder than we think. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha.
This is where I had a note in here where a downhill Paul George would be great, but I can just go ahead and delete that note. What's some key matchups?
I'm just going to go a little bit existential. We're running out of time on this one, but just the team mentality off the court translating on the court. That's it.
I couldn't agree more. Stars versus stars is something I had in here.
Okay. What stars?
Well, Paul George, I thought was going to play. So it's going to be Paul George and Kawhi versus D'Angelo and Draymond, but that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. So,
nope.
Lou versus Alec Burks, actually.
Okay, this is interesting. What do you got here?
Burks has 110 defensive rating, so that's going to be fine for Lou. But Burks is their main scorer off the bench. He's shooting 37% from three. He's having, for all intents and purposes, a career year offensively. He takes their most shots off the bench. Just something to watch out for.
Gotcha.
What's your prediction for this game?
I think that we win this one. I'm going to say, I'm going to say we put this one away. 115-98 Clippers.
Damn. All right. So you're taking the over in this one.
I'm taking the over, man. I think that we can, I think it's time to right the ship.
I'm going to take, I'm saying 116-104.
All right.
A little closer than we want it to be. Coming up after this, we have a preview of the Sunday game. Clippers versus Nuggets.
All right. So after we hopefully take down the Warriors,
let's hope
we got to take on one of the teams I've been nervous to play all season.
Our first meeting of the season with the Nuggets, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah. It seems...
The season against them last year.
It seems deep. And that, what a disappointment that was. Way to bring that up.
Yeah. As of this recording, the Nuggets sit in second in the Western Conference, ahead of the Clippers, but also have less games played. We are also getting them on the second night of a back-to-back, which is great for us.
Very advantageous. What do you call it in the notes?
Seg Baba. Second game back-to-back, yeah.
Gotcha.
That's the universal thing for it. So that actually goes into what we need to do well, very well, which is push the pace. They're coming off the second night of a back-to-back, and in general, they're 29th in pace. They're the second slowest team. We talk about pace not being that big a deal, but when you're dead last or first, it's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, we don't
say that. That's indicative of your thing.
I wouldn't say that it's not a big deal. It's just one of those stats that can get it
convoluted. When you get like, when you're like middle in pace, it's like, well, so you're just kind of doing over the other team. I don't know.
Exactly. Like it can be somewhat dictated by the teams that you've been playing.
Yeah.
So
but they're 29.
Yeah.
So they're dictating the pace. This is a nice chance to hopefully play quick.
Okay.
We're already seventh in pace, so we wouldn't really have to like adjust our game plan that much to play, you know, borderline infinitely faster than the 29th ranked team in pace.
Definitely. I mean, I'd like to really see us let it fly from outside in this one. So okay. Over the last 10 games, the Nuggets are 25th in the league in 3-point percentage. They're, as a team, hitting about 33%, which still seems respectable, but it's...
That's not that good.
It's not great. We're taking more attempts a game, hitting them at a better percentage. I know that we will be without Paul George, but it'd be nice to see one of those Kawhi outbursts early.
An efficient Jermichael game. And this is another game where Shamet could have a good... I talked about that last segment, but like Shamet could have kind of a nice... Shamet has a nice weekend in position.
Does Shamit start in these matchups without Paul George? Is that the assumption?
I don't know. We didn't even talk about starting lineup in that last segment. I think it's going to be... Well, the Warriors, they're kind of big. Mm-hmm. So Patterson might start that Warriors game. If D'Angelo plays, I think Mo starts.
Yeah.
For this Nuggets game, like we said, I don't know if Paul George plays. I bet they put Mo out there.
And who, though, at the two?
Yeah, Sham. No, I think Sham. I would like that. Based on these stats, which
I'm assuming that
we're not basketball minds, but
I'm assuming that Shamit gets a start in both these.
That's a good call. I like that. Arms in the passing lanes.
Okay.
Something we got to do well. Fourth best 26 assists per game for the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
We could see the zone in this one.
It would make some sense just given it depends on their lineups. Like, they do have some lineups with very large front courts. I think that it makes a lot of sense there, obviously, especially if they're not able to punish us from three like they haven't been able to do recently.
They're shooting for the season, not the last 10 games. For the season, they're shooting just under 30 attempts from three a game at the 21st best percentage, a 35%. So they're not really shooting a lot of threes,
mm-hmm.
and they're not really making a lot of those threes that they are shooting. So we could see some crazy zone stuff in this game.
Yeah.
Which we know and love. What's your last note in here? Battle on the glass?
Oh, yeah. Just rebound well. Yeah. Over the same stretch of the last 10 games, the Nuggets are actually the second worst rebounding team. Now, you got to keep in mind, they have been overall pretty efficient from the floor, like inside the paint.
Yeah.
But I think that if we're able to force them to shoot from outside, I think that we can kind of dominate on the glass, hopefully, defensively, and secure a dub on this one. This is going to be a really hard game.
And Jokic, I mean, he swallows up rebounds. We're going to talk about the matchups. We haven't talked about any specific players yet, but I mean, Jokic and Zoo, the game might hinge on that.
So this seems as good as time I need to talk about what could go wrong in this one.
There's a few things that could go wrong in this one.
I think if we're unable to establish a presence inside defensively, it's going to be a rough night.
Their pick and roll that they run with 2 7-footers or a regular-ass point guard size and Jokic, there's chances they could kill us. The Nuggets hold opponents to just under 33% in the league, which is second in the league.
33% from three, that is.
From three, yeah. And they limit attempts to the 10th best in the league. So if our shooting is not on point, like, it has to be efficient from the bench.
I was going to say, it has to be very efficient.
Shamit's got to go like 3 of 4. Jamichael's got to go 3 of 4. Something like that. Patterson's might have to have a big game in this one.
Yeah. This would be a great game to just show the resolve of this team. I feel like it's been a little while.
Hope we don't have to see it against the Warriors.
Yeah. It's been a little while since we've like had like a, I mean, like, we've gotten to really play up against a potential matchup in a significant way, you know, really since Christmas. So it would be nice to show up in this one and see really the DNA of like what this team is made of. But it's going to be really hard in this like mile high environment.
Yeah, it's in Denver.
Yeah. Nuggets have only lost 4 games at home all season. Same as us, but difficult.
What are you going to do if Michael Porter Jr. crosses or dunks on Jerome Robinson?
I'm going to turn Twitter off for a while.
I'm going to turn it up for a while. I hope that doesn't happen. Some key matchups. Jokic versus Zoo, I alluded to it mere seconds ago. Does the game hinge on like the first 8 minutes of this matchup? I know that's a very simple way to look at it, but like, dude, if Jokic comes out and has an absurd first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not, Jokic is phenomenal. It's not crazy to think that Jokic could put up, and I'm just saying this as a first quarter stat line. I don't know, like 4, 4-4 and 4 is something that Jokic could do. in the first quarter. And if he is feeling it in every aspect offensively, it could be tough. He can take over games. It's weird when it happens because he's quiet and schlubby, but he's the best passing center in the game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting because the matchup of this, it is so interesting to me because, you know, for the Clippers, we've had a lot of success running very traditional centers at Jokic. So I think Zoo defensively in this obviously makes a lot of sense to flummox him. But if he's able to score on Zubats and the finishing is like even kind of not efficient, then I think we're
from
just
Zoo.
Yeah, then yeah. I think that we're just gonna go the option of like running Trez out
run
there
him,
and just
try and
roasting Jokic on defense.
Yeah.
Until he like yeah, until they have to take him off the floor, or like he gets so flummoxed that like, you know, we're
or he gets teed up.
Yeah.
We've seen that happen with Jokic.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pick and roll defense from Zoo is gonna be tested. I want to see a good defense. I don't care about offense really from Zoo in this game.
No.
I want to see
but him I'm saying that he out. Will get pulled, like, unless he's really unless we're really clamping down, like if Zoo is unable to be efficient, like we're gonna get limited attempts in this one. So
agreed. Another one. Murray versus Bev.
Okay.
Jamal Murray's a hard guy to guard for the Clips. He's a downhill guard. He's not afraid of challenging people at the rim. Those tend to hurt us.
Yeah.
Right?
Do you want to see Mo on him?
I don't know. No?
I think...
Nuggets are big.
In the front court, they are. Otherwise, are they that much larger?
But Bev's also on the other side. His initiating is going to have to be on point. I'm really looking forward to see how the offense looks as he gets more comfortable having this play sheet from Doc. I know I keep harping on that, but I feel like it's a bigger deal and people should be talking about it more.
Yeah. And with Paul George out too, I'd love to see just like more aggressive Beverly. We talk about that.
Yeah.
Like if he gets a couple of those driving floaters early on, I mean, obviously it does boost for his confidence, but it also just like a defense kind of puts him on skates. Like who do you guard then? If you have to worry about everyone, like if Shamit can knock down, if Bev is, you know, hitting those open threes and also able to drive to the lane, and then Kawhi.
The bench, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
They have a really egalitarian scoring situation.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Jokic is at 19, Jamal Murray's at 18, Will Barton's at 15, Paul Millsap's at 12, Gary Harris at 11, Jeremy Grant 10. Like, it can kind of come from anybody.
Totally.
Their bench, like Mason Plumlee, like they just have two guys who are over 7 feet, which worries me. When you're two, and I'm not saying this from a rebounding perspective, we're a top rebounding team in the league, but from a defensive as a whole perspective, it can sometimes bother us. The size can bother us.
Yeah.
Are you worried about Paul Millsap going off against us at all?
No, not offensively. I think that he could be, I think that he can be a presence on the interior though. So that could be difficult for us. I don't know. Overall,
shooting 41% from three this year.
Overall, we can't get caught in their tempo. So
yeah.
I think that's going to be like the biggest thing is like we have to assert our game and play at that Kawhi pace.
Play that Kawhi pace. I mean, I'm fine with that. Look out for Jeremy Grant, 39%. Anyway, they got some efficiency.
We're out of time on this
one. What's your prediction for this game?
I actually think we drop this one. I think it ends up being around one. I think we fall. I think it's 108-115, something around there. I think we play close and we don't get smacked on, but I think we end up dropping this one.
I think we win this one, but I think it's a win where, like, something weird happens. Jokic gets ejected. Something weird like that happens, and we get the dub, and we get out of the Mile High City.
All right, so coming up next, we got a quick Pacific Division talk, as well as some Love, Marry, Kill.
Welcome to Pac-Div Talk.
Hey.
It's Pac-Div Talk. Has the Pac-Div disappointed as a whole this season? We were so jacked on it. Because, like, that first week, like, the Kings hadn't had everyone hurt yet, and, like, the Suns just beat us or something like that. Lakers obviously looked like they were playing, you know, mediocre basketball or whatever. Clippers looked great. Like, the Warriors hadn't had horrible injury luck yet. Now it's just like a hellscape.
Yeah. I had such high hopes.
I did.
I wanted to
use this podcast as a forum to somehow bring division play back.
Yeah.
Which I have fully acknowledged I don't think will ever happen, but it's kind of fun to talk about from like locality perspective.
It's just too difficult. I mean, I thought
they're not doing us any damn favors this year.
I thought at least a third of the playoffs would I thought better than a third of the playoffs would be Pacific Division teams. I thought three would be able to make it.
Easy. We talked. Well, I think you could go back, and I think there was a thing where I said I think four teams from the Pac-Div could make it.
I mean, that's insane.
But at the time, it made sense.
At the time, I suppose I will back it.
But we've been absolutely let down by the Pac-Div. Do you want it? But then the other question is, I hope it just keeps getting worse for the other teams.
No, I like it too. I like it competitive. I want to be the best team in a good conference. And I mean, we're already
right now, technically. Look at the record.
But yeah, that I don't know. I guess division play doesn't matter, but I want it to matter. I want it to matter.
I do too. There needs to be. Should there be a divisional? No, because that doesn't make any sense. Like a divisional cup?
I like it. Yeah.
Like, so each division, instead of the weird, like, each player gets $1 million. No, actually, I'm pretty on board for that plan. But should it be divisional cups? So literally, like, no one cares but the division. Which I think you can maybe do a thing where it's like, you have an unlimited amount of G League guys you can bring up.
Yeah,
you could almost use it.
You get a second rounder and everybody gets $1 million.
Or it's it's like U20, it's like Olympic soccer rules.
Mm-hmm.
So Olympic soccer, you can only have, it has to be under 23-year-olds, but you can have two players from like the senior team. So like Neymar for Brazil can play for their Olympic team, but like it can't be the whole Brazilian national team, like the senior squad, you know what I'm saying? So like for the divisional cup, in this scenario, I'm also eliminating the midseason cup totally. You could have like, all right, you have these amount of guys who were G League players, and you have like three guys from your regular squad or something like that. Maybe? I just thought of this idea.
What about
right
this?
Now.
We just go a completely different angle with it. Divisional play is the only game in which players are allowed to bet and gamble on the court.
That's, dude, you just pivoted. That's not even a pivot.
I love it.
You just, okay. Anyway. Let us know what you think about either of these ideas.
You can throw money down on the games during the game.
I don't know. Will's went into a whole debacle. Mine was wholesome and fun. Also, every game of the Pacific Division tournament is played, and it has to be at a high school gym because you're really having a good atmosphere there.
It's all neutral environments. I think it makes it more fun.
All right, so now let's move on to Love, Marry, Kill. Also, if we didn't do enough Pac-Div talk for you, let us know. No one's ever said that we've talked about the Pac-Div too much, so I think it'll be fine. Recently, Stephen A. Smith lied about Kawhi Leonard trash talking. Which honestly seems like the chillest thing a member of the national media that doesn't watch our team could lie about. So, you know, whatever. But it had me thinking, what other writers could lie about something from the Clippers, and what would it be?
What do we have?
Feel free to add your own ones here. It was a very slow day at work. It took me a long time to come up with these. Max Kellerman infamously had a rap career in the 90s. And for the 90s, it was par for the course.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad.
It wasn't.
Definitely not exceptional.
Yeah.
But it's whatever.
It's not his rap, man.
He talks about like Branch Davidians and stuff. Per his sources connected to the underground 90s rap scene, he was informed that Ivica Zubac is writing a mixtape full of diss tracks aimed at other centers around the league. The mixtape is called Behind Zoo Eyes and features
and features
a lot of electric guitar for some reason.
Oh no.
What? He's an Eastern European. Eastern European probably shouldn't rap.
I'm just picturing like
This is a vivid this is one for everyone to picture. Jeremy Renner feature on this. Yeah, this is that was a vivid one. I mostly wanted people to picture the album cover. Shannon Sharp, noted LeBron defender and believer, has sources in Denver from his former NFL days, and heard that when the Clippers played the Nuggets, that Patrick Beverley told Jokic that he thought Jokic could beat LeBron on the 40-yard dash. This was done to rattle Jokic because no one had ever said anything that outlandish or nice to him before. Hopefully it works on Sunday. Nick Costanza Toupe Wright is a human who can speak and is on television. He, unlike the other hosts on this list, doesn't actually have any sources, so he just makes things up. He just tells everyone he heard that Doc Rivers has a dartboard with Steve Ballmer's face on it. Doc hears this naturally and decides to show what his actual dartboard has a picture of, which is Nick Wright's hair plug doctor, who has given Nick...
Oh, man, this is so...
who has given Nick the confidence to spew unwarranted tanks and false information.
Wow, a lot of levels to this. A lot of levels, man. I guess I'm loving the toupee.
That's a good one, right?
That's pretty good.
Nick Wright, oh, he's infuriating.
I'm marrying...
I also think Doc is that petty.
I'm marrying the killing Jokic with kindness Shannon Sharp situation. That seems great.
I also want to see Jokic race anyone in a 40-yard dash. I think most people would lose, but watching Jokic run as fast as he could is always a good time.
Yeah, it also...
We're talking...
Pat Beverly compliment has to catch you off guard.
Yeah, that would rattle you. Also, this race is done in street clothes with a backpack on.
What's in the backpack?
Nothing actually makes it harder to run with a backpack.
I gotta kill this. The
Kellerman one?
Eyes. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't know, man. I'm not crazy about this diss track idea.
I'm marrying this one.
I hate the title.
I know. See? I did it to get a reaction. I'm just like Kellerman. I'm marrying and loving this one. Most of all because I think the Clippers locker room convinced Zubats to rap, which I would love to hear. And secondly, I would love Zoo to have this weird alter ego that's just going at every center. And behind Zoo Highs, so many album covers come to mind with that. And then I have to kill the Nick Wright one, I think.
All right. Fair? Fair. That's going to do it for today.
Oh, yeah.
So...
Let's have a good weekend.
Let's have a better weekend than last.
If the Clippers lose on Friday, we'll stream after the game.
If they lose?
Yeah, we'll stream after the game.
I'm going to see how I feel.
I'll stream after the game.
On Monday's episode, we'll have a recap of hopeful victories over the Warriors Nuggets. Ooh. We'll have the freshies for you and whatever else happened.
Well, yeah, it could be a good time.
If you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes, leave a rating and review. We'll read it on the air. You hated us.
If it's funny, I'll read it. I've been called a bunch of fun stuff. Thank you so much for listening. You find us on Twitter, at Charles Mockler, at Will Updike, at Locked On Clips. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. Continue to be. Appreciate you.